everyone. Let's get dangerous.
This is so cool.
I know.
It feels so right.
It's Jake Sealy.
He's opening our minds to new ideas. Kill him.
Who is that guy?
Your mama.
You just made the list.
Oh, wait, you're serious. Let me laugh even harder.
It's only the fantasy games of the range, sir.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No. Burn.
Game on, everybody. It is All in Fantasy. And he said he's pumped. I am pumped because special guest today, and I don't even think he knows this because I didn't tell him, but you're officially the last video, I put it in quotes, the last video of my podcast, live videos. See, look, holding the hands up in celebration. Because all the future podcasts will still be on YouTube, but after the fact. So this is the last time you can actually watch live and you can see the chaos live. But it is Olin Rogers, who I don't even care if he agrees with me. I call him a friend at this point. Yeah. The great Olin Rogers. I mean, when you make a video specifically to help me propose to my now wife, I consider you a friend. So I think that's a big part of it, right?
You should consider me family, actually.
Oh, so see, so my former boss. It's funny you say that. My former boss drove down for my wedding, and a lot of people didn't know him, so I introduced him, and I was like, this is my boss that I've been working with for all these times, and he goes, friend, and I was like, well, I think they assume you're a friend, it's just obviously you're coming to my wedding, so you tell me you're one-upping my former boss, Nando DeFino, you're family.
Yeah, look, we're family, all right? What's that? That's like Papa John's, right? When you're here, No, that's Olive Garden. It's Olive Garden. When you're here, you're family, right?
So you're the unlimited breadsticks and salad?
Hold on. What slogan is that? When you're here, you're family. I think it's Olive Garden.
It's Olive Garden, right? This is the Google machine, the magic of it.
Slogan.
This is a great start. I love this. This is why I did this.
No. Olive Garden is good times, great salad, Olive Garden. It's not.
Oh.
Hold on. What slogan?
Wait. So they put their name at the end of it? Good times, great salad, Olive Garden.
You're here. Why am I thinking this is not? Is this? No, it was. Okay. So that was the slogan in 2012.
And they got rid of it?
Slogan for 14 years. And then they changed it.
So they went from when you're here, your family, to good times, great salad, Olive Garden?
Yeah. Okay, so after 14 years, Olive Garden is kicking its famous slogan to the curb. As of Sunday, when you're here, your family will be replaced with Go Olive Garden? This can't be right.
Wait. Is this fake news? Are you fake newsing us?
No, this is on Yahoo News.
Yahoo News. This would be like Burger King changing "Get it your way" to like burgers. Yay!
Oh my god! I think it is actually.
Why are you sending us down a rabbit hole to start this podcast?
I want to know what the slogan is for when you're here, your family. So it was Olive Garden.
So it was Olive Garden.
So when you're here with Olin, your family.
What would that be? Your life slogan? Is that your life slogan?
Sure. I'm going to take the 2012 Olive Garden slogan as my own.
You're going to take it over?
Yes.
I don't think they'll be coming for you. I mean, nobody's come for me using Futurama clips in my intro yet. So I think I'm okay. I think
you're with the Olive Garden. Dancing with a fine line, my friend.
I think the bigger one is I'm more afraid of Disney coming for me using a spinoff of the DuckTales theme. Like, that's really in.
No, I wouldn't worry about that. I wouldn't worry.
You
want to
worry about
that? If it's a spinoff, as if it's not the exact same, I think you're fine.
And then you're more okay. How's the eye, by the way? For everybody that doesn't know, Olin's been serious eye condition.
It's good. I mean, it's this one. It's back to normal right now, but I'll just say what it is. It's recurrent corneal erosion. So like last year, I was like doing some yard work. I had this outdoor rug and I was like shaking it out but I underestimated like the weight of the outdoor rug because it's like that wicker. It's really light. It was like lighter than your bread basket, right? And I thought it was going to be heavy. So as I do that, I end up smashing the edge of this rug, this wicker, like, I don't even know what kind of rug it is, into my eye. And I cause like a massive abrasion kind of like in the center of my eye. And so I go to the doctor. He's like, yeah, you nailed it right in the center. You're going to have to put a little contact on there and let it heal. Let it heal for like 5 days. It heals pretty fast. And then when he went to take it off, I think he re-ripped it. And ever since then, every single month, pretty much, it'll rip again, just tear. And basically, my eyeball will get stuck to the inside of my eyelid when I wake up. And if your eye shifts, if it like kind of, you open it up too fast, it'll tear off that layer because it heals wrong. Basically, how he described it is like this. Typically, an eye at night, like, it flexes. So it's like that. So that's how an eye should do. Mine's like this. And so when it flexes, it basically will tear off.
Well, not to go down like this whole eye rabbit hole, this is on a great podcast topic.
I know so much about eyes now. About
do you use the Systane at night? The lubricating gel?
I use gel.
I was going to say, because I had to use that because of my eye surgery. And then, like, every so often, it still dries out. And it has that rip feeling in the morning. And then I have, like, these pain eye drops. Yeah. So I didn't know if
I diagnose your
condition.
I think it's called that. Yeah, the night gel.
Yeah,
I can't use anything else. Because I've tried the drops, but it'll tear. And so I specifically use those gel tubes. Dude, I have so many of those gel tubes. I've used
What do you have more?
They should sponsor me.
Sustain? Do you have gel tubes or more dongles and cords? What do you have more of?
Gel tubes. So many gel tubes. I mean, it's one of those things that you just kind of got to learn to live with at this point. I mean, it could heal. I'm taking like tons of like eye vitamins, like
eye vitamin.
Which reminds me, I gotta take my eye vitamins.
Live on the thing. Are you gonna have to have surgery?
Look, the surgery stuff is like, it's A, there's a long waiting list, but also there's no like guarantee that it will heal it. So there's always like, I would consider it if they said 100%, if you get the surgery, it'll be done, it'll fix it. But he was like, it could just improve it. And I'm like, what am I going to get? Like, who goes to surgery is like just to improve slightly what you already have?
It might 10% improve your condition.
And I think he was like, somebody got it. That was a client. And I think it improved it. I'm like, if he's not, he's healed and he's okay, then I'll consider it.
So I have a feeling, like, in my opinion, like, I was going to say, like, the doctors should be a little bit more than I think. Like, I went for vertigo, and he was like, we're going to do this ear test and this goggle test that tracks your eyes and stuff like that. So he's like, I think, and it could be, and then if it does this, it might be. I'm like, I'm not coming to you for, like, this is what I go on WebMD for. Like, I'm coming to you for the answer.
The thing that I'm starting to realize is, doctors, they're like, especially general practitioners, right? That just like the family doctor.
Yeah. And
typically, like, I remember anytime I would go with like the flu, right? Which, by the way, don't go to a doctor for the flu, because all they're going to say is just rest up, get some chicken noodle soup in you, and you'll be okay. And I'm like, dude, you don't have you got nothing in your cabinet of medicines that you can give me right now to make this better. Basically, right now, the only medicine for the flu is rest and chicken noodle soup out of all these years. But it's like, no, it's like all the things that they give you and the answers they give you are like typically wrong. It's weird.
That's, every time I go there. We had a cruise at the beginning of June, and I got back, and I went in to see, like, I mean, my throat got so bad that I actually went to the ER at 3 o'clock in the morning because I was like, I can't even swallow. I'm not even able to sleep. And the doctor, like, I get whatever, and we're going to move on from this. But to your point, he's like, I'm just going to give you this for strep because even if it came back negative, I would give you the same thing. Like, legitimately said that to me. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Actually, let's talk about that. What are we doing today? I'm supposed to be talking to you about all this stuff about your great life.
Oh, yeah.
And all these things and kind of catching up. For everybody that doesn't know, we kind of glossed over at the beginning. So Olin Rogers, I found, what was it, 6-7 years ago? So congrats, YouTube algorithm. Like, the reason I know who you are, I consider you family, is because randomly watching other videos. And the one that popped up that made me click on it was actually the one that you've got, like, stop motion animated.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Like, you say that's the one, like, so it's not even your original YouTube videos where you're telling all the stories. It's like the one that you got actually animated about. I don't want to spoil, but it involves an apple. Hilarious, by the way. I actually immediately showed it to my parents, my friends. I was like, this is hilarious. And then I watched all your other videos. But actually, so I didn't even know about you from your previous. Give everybody the quick rundown of, like, the Wikipedia version of Olin Rogers from Balloon Shop to your YouTube days and everything. Sure. So there you go.
So, man, what did I start? I started YouTube in 2000, I want to say 10. I think whatever year YouTube started. I started that.
I just actually pulled it up. What were 2008.
2008.
You joined March of 2000 or March 14th of 2008.
Yeah,
and actually pretty much full on date.
I think we were like a year after they started. It, like, I was uploading videos to MySpace. That's how early I was. And I figured
Wait. Do you remember your top five friends?
Dude, I'm still friends with, like. Yeah, I'm still friends. I married one, and then Thomas was one. Yeah, so it's like I'm still friends with it with a good bit of those. But yeah, it was. I think the Balloon Shop stuff started, which was kind of, we started in high school, and it was a sketch comedy group. We did that for, man, I don't know, 5 years through college, and then after college, kind of went our separate ways. I started my channel. Which is just Olin Rogers. And I started just kind of doing videos and sketches and trying to, like, really kind of get better at storytelling. That was my big goal. In that process, I had done it for, like, man, 15 years, probably more now. And really wanted to get it in the animation. So I did a little cartoon called Gary Space, which is awful. It's so bad. I always tell people, do not watch it. I still have it up there because it's like, I feel like it's history of some kind, but it's terrible. It's really bad. Don't watch it.
I already did.
But it was the predecessor to Final Space, which I was able to take out and kind of sell in Hollywood. So I was able to, like, it was like kind of during the gold rush too, which is like the streaming wars. So I was able to pitch like 12, 15 places. Now you're lucky if you get two pitches now, because everything is merged and consolidated and all that stuff. Yeah. But I mean, I was pitching like 5 Warner Brother entities, you know, like everything was like separated and great, but now everything is all consolidated. So I was able to sell that, went out to LA, worked on that for about 5 years, did it through 2 mergers. I was there with the AT&T one, the Discovery merger with Warner Brothers. Couldn't survive the second merger. They canceled the show. And then ultimately, I was kind of like, they didn't cancel just that. They also canceled the Lions Blaze and then a DC animated show that I was kind of working on for Lobo. And then after that, sold a bunch of stuff. You know, just it took a little bit, but I was able to sell some stuff and work on some other projects and in development. And then really right now, just kind of doing some YouTube stuff, doing some Hollywood stuff, doing about a little bit of everything. So
yeah,
that's like the long short of it.
Long short of it, yeah. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that you're doing now today.
Great.
By the way, like I love the helmet that you have behind you.
Yeah.
By the way, from Final Space, from Gary.
That was a fan made that. Yeah.
Then he got the new Mooncake up behind me. I actually got the shirt from the package that I got the editor package. So that was going to be a random question I was going to say, but we'll throw in a random question now because this is what I do on podcasts. No straight order to anything. So when I was on the cruise, and this isn't humble bragging because it felt weird, and that's why I'm asking this question. Nicole and I were walking on one of the decks. Somebody walked by, and then I heard from behind me, and he goes, "Jake?" And like I turned around, he's like, "You're Jake from blah, blah, blah." And like, again, I'm not like being like, "Oh, somebody recognized me on the ship." I'm asking you because I'm sure it happens to you a million times more than it does for me. Is it weird? Like, I'm wearing your t-shirt. Like, is it weird when like people, because I still find, and I mean, I don't have the success you have in that space, but I don't know how to act. Like, when the person saw me, I'm kind of like, should I try to talk to you for 5 minutes or should I just let you go on your way? It was a weird feeling.
I just always just say thank you for watching and, you know, for the support. And they usually ask for a picture. I'll take a picture. It's like, you need to be signed or anything like that. And then I'll just kind of go on my way. You know, like usually everybody that I meet is really respectful about like, "Oh yeah, do your thing," you know, and they'll kind of leave. But I always give them like a little bit of time to make sure they get everything they want. But I mean, surprisingly, it doesn't happen as much nowadays, but when I was doing YouTube hardcore, it would happen a lot. It still happens, though. I think it happened with, the last time it happened was with a Postmates delivery guy. I opened the door in shock. It's like, "Oh my God, are you Owen Rogers?" It's like, "Yeah, man." It's like, "What's up?" He's like, "Dude, I watch your videos all the time." It's like, so it's like, it'll happen in the weirdest places. The weirdest places.
Yeah, we walked away and I was like, I'm a jerk. I didn't even introduce Nicole. Like, she's just standing there. I'm like, I'm thinking of all this thing. Like, so sorry, Tim, if you're listening, by the way. I do actually just remember your name.
Tim is furious.
Tim's just pissed off, like, never listening to you ever again.
You know what? That jerk never introduced me to his wife. Is that what he thinks of me? Is that what Jake thinks of me?
That's what I think of all my listeners. Do not bother me on a cruise ship. You know what? It was interesting. This is another one. I was kind of like, had the outline, so to speak, quotes, when you were saying that, because you said you started with Balloon Shop kind of in high school and everything like that. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you was like, was that always your dream? Because, you know, like a lot of kids, you're like, "What do you want to be?" And they're like, "Astronaut, you know, baseball player, like what, fireman." Like, is that once you got to high school, like something you always thought you'd be doing? Like, is 14-year-old Rogers looking at adult Rogers, Owen Rogers, and going like, "Yeah, this is awesome. Like, I never even expected that."
Yeah, I mean, I was in a town outside of Memphis, Tennessee. So I always kind of was like, this is the place where dreams die, you know? But I was like very adamant about like trying to do really anything I wanted to direct movies. That's really what I wanted to do. Still want to do it. I don't know if I'll ever get to that point. I'm kind of stuck in this endless cycle of writing. And if you knew 14-year-old Olin, he hated to write. and I still think there's a part of me that hates writing. It's just like, to me, the writing process is fun because it's where you're most limitless, right? There is nothing holding you back from writing the thing that you want to write, except for your skill, your talent, all that stuff. But there's no budget, you know, like nobody's like, "Hey, you can't do that. You can't make that." So it's all in your head at that point. So in that aspect, I do like it, but man, it's hard for me to do that because I'm such a visual person. I love to see stuff move. I love to see animation. I love to see the completed thing. So that's what I get joy from. So I've been just stuck in the writing phase. But if I had to say like what I was like at 14-year-old, like I think this is kind of like a pretty close to the path I wanted to do. I mean, I pretty much did like a school project and I use my dad's handy cam, and I still have a camera. It's like a little heirloom that I have now because I kept stealing it. And I mean, we're talking old school hi-fi 8 tapes. This is before SD cards and all that stuff. And basically did a project. Teacher loved it and showed it to every other one of her classes and was like, this is good. This is a really good project you did. And I was like, oh, wow. This is like, because I wasn't like the person that was just nailing grades. That was my brother. He would be like honor roll everything. I wasn't that. I wasn't that. So to get like, you know, some sort of recognition for something was pretty awesome. And then I remember my mom said, you know, you can get a scholarship for that, which I never did get a scholarship for that. I don't even know if you can get scholarships for it. Just like making videos and stuff. I'm sure now you can, but back then I don't think there was a lot of scholarships for that. And, but I was like, wow, I can, there's a chance. There's a chance for me, Mom. And so I started really making videos, and this was before the internet still. I remember I made one short during the summer called Gone in 60 Minutes. It was about boosting bicycles. I would do like a lot of spoofs. I did like a spoof of like Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings mixed together, right? And I would do it. I would just get really good at editing movies into movies. I remember I edited a the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with Jurassic Park. I would do some crazy stuff. But it's like, yeah, I think that is kind of the whole start of it, the inception. I mean, it wasn't, I've been doing it a long time and it's kind of what I've always wanted to do. So, yeah, it's been good.
You realize this is like I guess teenage Olin would have hung out with Jake. Cause I have a million t-shirts upstairs,
yeah.
But 90% of them are like crossover stuff. Like I have like the Squirtles and War Turtles as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like that. Yeah. Kind of, like, so, like Teenage Mutant and War, like those are the kind of things I buy. Is like I want these random dumb crossover T-shirts. As
people. Yeah, yeah. Like,
I haven't even busted this one out yet, but the shirt is—it's just a comma, like a writing comma. It's a comma, 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 and it's a chameleon.
So, oh like, yeah, yeah.
So, like that kind of stupid stuff. So. Let me ask you this then, like, I'm kind of like, I have a lot that can kind of tie in, but I think the biggest one from there is a lot of people will look to you. One of the good things, so if people don't know, if you supported Olin through Kickstarter or Patreon, by the way, has a book for somebody that doesn't want to write, having a book coming out, which I'm really looking forward to. Actually, let's go there first. So forward as always, like go there first.
Yeah. I mean, this whole project started here's the thing. I guess if for some of you that doesn't like writing, it did take us 8+ years to write a book. Okay. So me and my buddy Jake, funny enough, look, there's another Jake. I'm friends.
Well, that's your buddy. I'm family. So
that's true. Your family here, right? Your family. What are we talking about here? Huh? So we wrote a book, a fiction book, sci-fi, back in 2005.
Wow.
Really? 2005? No, that can't be right, right? No, 2015. 2015.
Okay.
My brain is like mush in the morning.
I thought you were going to say you scrapped it and rewrote it or something.
Yeah, no. It was 2015. So we wrote it in 2015. At the time, all these YouTubers were coming out with like autobiographies of their life. And I'm like, dude, you're 30 years old. You still have an entire other half of your life to live. Like it's not time to write something like that yet. It's like, what useful knowledge have you just started? So I was like, I really want to write fiction. Like nobody was doing fiction because I think that required a skill set that they didn't have. But I was like, look, let me just jump into the fire and just try to see if I can figure it out. So me and Jake Sidwell got really good at like kind of writing with each other, and kind of what I would do is I would blaze through the the unknown, chopping at the weeds, just creating a path, right? Building the bones, the structure, the ideas. And then I would give him like the rough, mangled pieces of this story, right? And he would go in and polish it, right? Okay. And we got really good at that, of just like doing that, even with, you know, the Final Space proof of concept. In the book, it was really a thing of like, look, I'm good at ideas. Jake's not really good with the idea aspect of like coming up with like, let me come up with this. But he can take my worst jumbled up spaghetti and turn it into family, right? I'm talking Olive Garden, Parmesan, just dumping on my my writing plate. So, no, he's fantastic at that. Like, and he's really good with dialogue. Like, there's just things that he's really, really sharp with, and we balance each other out really well. So we started in 2015, finished the first draft of the book, and then he got really sick. And he's still sick. He still has this chronic illness. I don't even know exactly what it is. I don't even think he knows exactly what it is. He's still looking kind of for the answer. But it's something that just affects him all the time. And I remember kind of bringing it back up to him. I mean, maybe like 2-3 years ago, like, hey, we should just jump back into that book. I mean, we have a completed thing, you know, let's try to find an editor. So I've been trying to find an editor for years, man, somebody to help us out in this book. And it wasn't until like Rosa Tran, who was kind of like an EP on Final Space. She was like, hey, I think you should meet this person. I met up with this guy named Matthew, and he was just a Lord of the Rings nut, and I'm a Lord of the Rings nut. And he was like, you're going to love this guy. And I met up with him, and I was like, hey, so Rosa said you're a Lord of the Rings fan. He's like, dude, I'm not just a Lord of the Rings fan. And he goes through all of his stuff that he has. He's like, look, my wedding band is the One Ring. And he like shows it to me, like the inscribed Elvish in the band. He's like, this art piece behind me is the original art piece from the animation of the Lord of the Rings. And I was like, what the freak is going on? He's like, wait. And he'll like run off camera and he'll pull up another like mobilia of like what he has. I'm like, this guy's nuts.
This is the hair off Frodo's toe.
Yeah, no, this is my kind of guy right here. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. He's like, so what do you do? Like, what's your thing here? And he's like, well, I'm a producer. I have a little company here, but I also have like a publishing company. I was like, dude, no way. It's like, I have a book, a sci-fi book that I've been trying to find some help with. He's like, can I read it? It's like, yeah, absolutely. It's just the first draft. So I sent it to him and he was like, I love this. I was like, dude, you really? He's like, yeah, I love it. Would you want to do this with me? It was like, dude, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. It's a small publishing house, nothing big, nothing crazy, right? I don't even think he's done an actual book. I think he's in graphic novels. And I'm getting him to help with a Final Space graphic novel. But I was like, dude, yeah, let's do it. And I was able to kind of use that to kind of get Jake back into, you know, wanting to kind of jump back in and like try to finish this thing. And I think just the idea that there was help and that there was like the next stage had been figured out really got him excited. And we were able to kind of push it to the finish line and just finish it. And that was like, look, it's hard to write a book, but if we can just get this first one out, then we'll have accomplished something, you know, and at the bare minimum, just accomplishing a finished book is a feat in itself. It was hard. Writing a book is hard, dude. It is not easy to do that. And firsthand experience, it's like it's not something that I would. It's that it is my strength, you know, to write a book because I come from the animation space. I come from a different medium in general. But it was fun. It was fulfilling, you know. I think we want to try to do like two more, but look, I'm not running to do that. I'm like, I just think that it's like, it was so challenging.
Well, I'm sure like 80% of my work is writing, and like people are like, "Are you gonna write a book?" And I'm like, "No, like I don't want to." Like, no. Yeah. So there's a question that in there that I didn't even have that you made me think of. And I'm pretty sure the first time you and I ever talked in the podcast, I asked you this same question. But a lot of people probably have come and gone. But I remember asking you this: is that when you're doing anything, writing the book, doing Final Space. And it's probably because it's always been my biggest question if I ever tried to get into that, which I don't think I would. But when you have a project like that and you're telling this story, do you have the end decided in mind? Or is it like kind of develop as you go along? Or is it a mix of both? Like you kind of have an idea, but it doesn't, you're not guaranteed that that is going to be your end because it could fluctuate as you get through the story. Because that's my biggest thing. It's like, I watch TV shows and like you get to the finale and I'm like, is that what they planned the whole, like, did they know that? Is that what they were going? So, that's always been a big question of mine.
It's, sometimes people can have the ending in their head, you know? Like for Final Space, I knew the ending for season one, but I didn't know where I wanted to end the entire show, like right off the rip. It took like really getting close to the end to basically start thinking about the end, you know? And I think that with any kind of good story, I usually try to think of the beginning and the end. Because I'm like, okay, that's where I start. Where does this end? Or weird enough, it'll usually be like, this is where it ends. Now, where does it start? And that's just me. Look, there's so many ways that people write, and there's no wrong way to do that. And I always hate it when people are like, that's not how you're supposed to do that. I'm like, it works for me. You know, it might not work for you, but it works for me. Whatever works for you, do that, because that's the thing that's going to get you to write, to work. And if it works, it's not wrong. So I always kind of like, especially in the novel, we had a basic idea of where we wanted to go with Ford as always, but it was kind of like, I just kind of would write and let the story kind of lead me in a weird way. Like, okay, well, what if this popped up? What would happen? And then I kind of just like, would just like use my imagination to just pour it onto the page. Same thing with the graphic novel. I was writing last night till like 4 a.m. And dude, it was so tough to write because I was like tearing up the entire time because I'm like in a really intense emotional part of this entire novel.
So I thought, like, it was going to say because your eye.
No. It was like seven times. I was just like tearing up and I would have to get up and like wipe my eyes off. But luckily I was like in this like community office space and nobody was up there, because otherwise I'd just see like a grown man like tearing up, just writing on his laptop.
This guy won't leave Starbucks and he's just crying.
He's just crying. What's so sad? It's like, man, it's like a lot of the times you can also just let the emotion kind of carry you. And usually if I hit a point where I'm like tearing up or I feel something, I know I have something, right? I know I have it, like a nugget of something real, right? And I'm like, I need to explore that. And even when I was like, I know where I want to end the graphic novel and stuff. And I was like, let me just, after I finished like my pass on that, I was like, let me just write a scene of like the last little bit. And I was like, dude, I can't even write it. It's like, it's too sad for me to like legitimately write the words out. So I'm like, I'm kind of fearing writing that ending, because it's like, it's the final like goodbye, you know, like you're just like these characters that you live with in your head for so long. They're not my friends. They're my family.
Family. Because I look, that's the name of the show. It's so funny. But Nicole and I were watching the show and we got to the end. I had watched it. She never did. And we got to the end and she was like, I'm sad now. I mean, you can go back and rewatch it, but it's that first experience. Like you kind of like have this like family connection. So there was two questions in there. I'm going to actually sprinkle some of the fun ones in because cool. There's two things you made me think about. So one is, what's the last show, comedy, movie, whatever comedy show that you, what's the last thing that had Olin Rogers in tears laughing? Not in tears sad, but in tears like yeah. What's the last thing that you just rolled?
Parks and Rec.
Really?
I'm rewatching it. There's a moment where Chris Pratt, Andy Dwyer is like, they just had like a night of like snake juice. Like they're at the snake hole lounge and like they're all getting totally wasted. And it's the next morning and he's kind of like shining shoes and he's clearly hungover. And Aubrey Plaza walks up and she's trying to like still do her character, which is like Janet Snakehole, right?
Yeah.
And so she's like, hey, see, like, you know, and Andy's like, I can't. And then she walks away kind of deflated. And then he kind of stands up and says, hey, it's me. Something Macklin, like the FBI, but I'm his brother, you know, and it's like Jake something, like coming with a completely different name. And the guy's like, why is the brother have a different name? He's like, shut up, you know, like, and then she smiles. It's a really sweet moment. And then he sits back down. He like collapses down. And then he sits there for a second and just vomits on the guy's shoes. And it's just like guttural laughing. It's so funny every single time I see it because I forget it's about to happen. And I'm like, oh, this is such a funny moment. And then he does it. Like every time. I forget about it every single time because it's such a fast cut. But I laugh my face off of that. But probably before that, Righteous Gemstones. I really love that show.
Really?
I think that is the funniest show on air right now.
Nice. Okay, so then...
Have you seen it?
No. No. Yeah.
Watch that show. It is... The first season is like, it's solid. The second season, it gets so funny. One of my favorite moments from that show, and I'll just tell you, because it's like, it's Danny McBride, right? Yeah. It's all about like the kind of like mega church family. And he kind of like is going to go pick a fight. And so he gets his like congregation to go with him. Like they're his like gang, essentially. And essentially he goes to confront this guy and he goes with like a sling and stone. So they all have
like David and Goliath.
And they're like, yeah. And they're like David and Goliath and they're like swinging it and they like launch it at the guy and it like, they all kind of miss, you know, like one or two might hit him. It's like, ow. And then they run off like in joy. Cause they just like felt like they just accomplished something. It's just like, there's so many funny moments, dude, in that show that will have you laughing your face off. I really love The Righteous Gemstones. I think that's
one of the smarter
shows. It's on HBO Max or Max or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Like there was the last one somebody suggested to me was Jury Duty.
That's funny.
Yeah, when he pulls out the made seat stilt thing and he's trying to sit on and balance, like, yeah, that one got me. So I think we'll see. We'll see if you one up that one. We'll see if the family
recommendation comes through.
Well, so am I safe to assume your most anticipated one is the second season of Lord of the Rings?
Oh, wait, Rings of Power?
Yeah. Is that your most anticipated?
Look, I love Lord of the Rings. Dude, it was like The Hobbit. It was one of the first books I ever wrote, like read. And there's just so much like sentimental value. My family loves that. I remember when the trailer came out, my family was nuts about it, right? We every opening day, we were there for every Lord of the Rings movie, have every extended edition. Like, we love Lord of the Rings. I love Lord of the Rings. I wasn't in love with Rings of Power. But even as a fan, I still will watch the second season, right? Like, I'm a kind of a person that I'm like, I've gotten out of the idea of just critiquing things because I hate it when people, all they do is dispute negative things about a project because it's hard to make anything, man. Like,
wait, so Twitter? So that's so you
pretty yeah, much yeah, Twitter. It. Like, I can't do it. Like, I'll try to be like, if I don't like it, I'll just say, you know, I don't like it. It's for somebody. It's somebody else, you know, will enjoy it, and maybe it's made for them and not me, you know. The Rings of Power, I think the thing that I didn't like what they did, and I hear I'm critiquing it, is they did something where they saved a big reveal for the very end, but everybody guessed it, right? Everybody was like, I know who that is. I know who that is. And they did it to two characters. And by the time that the reveal happened, nobody cared.
Yeah.
And that's a good like story lesson of like, it's okay to bring up a big moment earlier. Hold on. My dog has something in his mouth. I'll be back.
Drill. Let's see. Barkley. Let me get Barkley to come over here. Live on the podcast. Here we go. If I can get her to come, she's coming. Come here. Come here. Say hi on the podcast.
All right. Sorry.
Nope. I brought my dog over for
yeah, just like
entertainment.
She just grabs things and then she runs off. She wants you to chase her. yeah, no, the Rings of Power, I think it looked awesome. Like visually, I think it looked cool. It's great to be back there. You can definitely see the influence of like the Peter Jackson movies in that series. So it's kind of like,
no, but I'm with you. It was kind of like, it was good. Yeah. Not great.
Yeah. It was good. You know, it's like, there was things to like about it, you know, like
it's like me with the Mega Man video games. It's like, you know what? I really didn't like 11, but like, it was still Mega Man. Like, so
oh, man, Mega Man, dude, I love Mega Man. I would always watch that. That's Mega Man is the one game franchise where I first saw my brother get so mad because it was so hard that he would like throw his controller against the wall like every single time. I was like, wow, games are intense, man. Oh man. It's,
is yeah. there anything you're playing right now? Or your life is,
I just got back into Minecraft. I just got,
oh,
back
really?
Into Minecraft. So I'm playing it with, my buddy Corey and Jake Sidwell. And just kind of learning it. There's so much that they've added. We played it when they first came out, and I was like, "Wow, this game is pretty fun." And then now there's everything. It has everything. So I have just kind of, you know, relearn the game. But I was like, "What did I play before that?" My brother and my dad tried to make me play Dark Souls.
Fallout, right? You're big into Fallout.
Oh, I played it right before Minecraft. I got back into it because of the show. Now, that was a great show, dude.
That was good. Okay, yeah.
Great show. I love that show. I think you're not going to get a better adaptation of a video game than that, in my opinion. I love The Last of Us show, too. Mm-hmm. But there's something about that. Didn't it just feel like a tad bit safe? Just felt like they made the game. They literally just did a one-for-one from video game to TV, right? And so, then they like, changed it a little bit.
I'm with you. Like, I was watching that. So I played the games, and Nicole had never, obviously. And like, when watching the show, I'm like, I know everything that's going to happen. Like, yeah. I was like, this is the game. Also, I would say a little less threatening. Like, it just didn't feel like.
Yeah.
And
I
told her that. I was like, when I'm playing the game, like, you're so immersed that it's like, oh my God, like you really feel that pressure, that anticipation.
No. Yeah.
And the show just never hit that for me. Like, and I don't know if it was because we knew.
I think it just felt like, I've watched it already.
Yeah.
Because I played the game, right? It felt like, it's almost like you're watching a rerun of a not as good version of it because the game is so good. And you're critiquing right now. Like, but I always say, look, beautiful looking show. I think the cast was great. Pedro Pascal is awesome. I think it was done so well. There was great episodes in it. Like, there was a lot of stuff to like about it. I'll still watch second season. Yeah. But to me, the Fallout was just, I was just like, I love this world, man. I love the world. I loved the characters. Walter Goggins was awesome. I was like, this is such a cool character.
Loved him in Justified. I love most everything he does. The big thing with the game, the adaptation of Last of Us was the biggest thing that lost me was when you are in the game and you're playing as her, because I don't want to give too much away. And in that campground area, I was like, I'm going to die. Legit. I got it. And then the TV show, I'm just kind of like, yeah, she's fine.
This is what I'll say about the Last of Us show. Even though they did a one-for-one adaptation of the video game, maybe the show wasn't made for the people that played the game. Maybe it was made for people that did not play the game, right?
And just missed out
because,
on all that.
Because I think it's... I've started to realize that, people go in, and it took me way, way too long, 37, for me to realize that, hey, everything isn't made for me. They have a specific target in mind, and they're going for that. It's like almost like, the new, Star Wars shows. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I love Star Wars. I love everything about Star Wars. Grew up with it. I got into wanting to do stories from the VHS copies of Star Wars. With the making of with George Lucas before the thing actually showed. I had those things, the original.
So you have the original. Still to this day, I get mad about this. So you still have the original Yub Yub song at the end of Return of the Jedi, not that stupid thing that they changed it to.
Yeah, the old guy. Yeah. I think that the new Star Wars shows, I really loved Andor. I think that show was made for people that watched the Star Wars that we watched, like the originals and even the prequels, even I look back at the prequels with more fondness now because of the excitement I had with the Phantom Menace. Pod racing is just awesome. I don't care what people say.
I still played the hell out of that video.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Me too, dude. It was the best. And look, they're not perfect movies, but I still enjoy them. I don't know. Cause there's a feeling attached to it. I think Andor is a great show, not just a Star Wars show, just a great show. Right. I think that, the other Star Wars shows around, that are coming out, just not made for me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay. I'm not a huge fan of what I'm seeing on that, but that's fine. Like, I don't care. Like, make more Andor and I'll watch that,
Disney's audience is an audience of one. It's not just
We succeeded. There's always stuff to like in every Star Wars show, and I think it's just I've gotten to a point where it's like, I'm not going to try to make it fit a hole that it's not going to fit. Right. Which is like, it's like, even though I love Star Wars, it doesn't mean that I'm going to love everything that Star Wars is going to make. And, to be fair, like the Book of Boba Fett, I didn't really like that show.
That was just tacked on, in my opinion. All right. So that's a good question that you just made me think of. Is Olin Rogers the watch it as it releases, or you wait to the end so you can stream the whole thing kind of person?
I'm somewhere in the middle, which is like, I like to have a couple episodes to watch. But I do like to come to a show. If it's a show that I really like, so there's one show that me and Rachel just kind of love. And it's just like such an odd show that probably nobody watches. It's called Evil. It's on Paramount Plus.
Yeah. So I started that show and I was upset I gave up in the first season because I wanted more supernatural type of stuff to it. When I went in.
Yeah. I enjoy it because it's just it's just a weird dynamic for a show, but I am always entertained by it. And it's like, there's something just very weird and odd about it, but I like the cast. I like everybody in it. And it's one of those shows that comes out every week and we'll watch it every week, same thing with House of Dragons. We'll watch that every week. It's like, I don't want to wait.
we're like kind of, I thought you were going to say you were like Nicole and I, where it's like, we don't wait till the very last episode. We try to gauge like where we can jump in like halfway through and always have like two or three in the bank. So like,
yeah, that's
want to stream.
Usually I'll start a little late, you know, to a show and then have a little bit of a few episodes. That's kind of like the middle point where it's like, let's save a couple episodes. So it's like more of a night as opposed to one. And you're like, what the freak do we watch now? You know,
now what's left? Then I start doing the Netflix search. All right, wait, before, because I do want to finish on the whole Final Space, Godspeed, and obviously with your Patreon and the Haunt Hounds, all that type of stuff. Before we get to that, I do have some, like, I want to do some more of these fun questions because this is kind of like, I think definitely. So I had the last show in there. So this is just random stuff, just your opinion. If you could, and that's one of my favorite questions of all time, if you could, no matter what you eat, no matter what it is, it's a perfect human diet. Or every night you sleep just 30 minutes and you get perfect sleep. Which one would you choose? So either no matter what you eat, it's a perfect diet and it's perfectly healthy. Or you only have to sleep 30 minutes, but yet it's still a perfect 8-hour night rest every single night.
I think the food.
See? I'm with you on the food.
I think the food, man. Like, there, if you can eat whatever you want, it's the perfect diet. Oh man, bring it on!
right?
I'll take that. I'll take crappy sleep over that. Yeah.
I was like, what are you gonna do at 3:30 in the morning when nobody else is awake anyway? You're gonna get bored. Like,
yeah. I mean, I could be eating hot chicken at 3 a.m. Be okay. you can eat with all that time you're awake.
All right. So, Olin and Rachel, which one are you? Are you the dishwasher, the trash, or the laundry guy? Because it seems like there's always
trash.
Trash.
Yeah, I try to help out with.
Obviously, I'm not saying like you do nothing else around the house.
I'm usually the trash guy.
See, I'm always like, I do laundry, but I don't want to iron. Like, I don't mind doing that. I just
iron.
Like,
I'm saying every shirt.
Every single one possible. here's the big question. I'm sure you've heard before, Olin. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Is it a taco? Is it a burrito? What is a hot dog?
I think a hot dog is its own thing. It's a meat in a sleeping bag.
Okay.
It's a sleeping bag meat.
You got me on that one.
Because it's all fully laying down on the bread.
True. But you can't, like, zip up the hot dog bun.
It's because it's hot. It's a hot dog.
Okay. How about this one? You can travel in time.
Okay.
But every time you do, you lose a year of your life. Would you do it, and how many times would you do it?
For how long do you get to go to the place?
Whatever you want. It's free reign. It's an unlimited traveling in time superpower. But every time you choose to jump one time, it's a year off your life. So if you did it 20 times, 20 years off your life.
I'd maybe do it once.
Just once? Where would you go? What time? Future? Past? Specific point?
I would maybe go, I don't know. I mean, you could always do the Back to the Future thing. Just go back and get a sports almanac and be okay.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Those kind of questions I always do terrible on, because it's like, there's infinite possibilities that you could do. And it's like, you when you think about it, you're like, man, nothing's coming to mind. Everything is blanking. But I don't have anything off the top of my head for that. Because I don't typically think about, hey, if I had a year to go back in time, but if I lost a year of my life, this is what I would do. So I have no answer for that.
All right, then you probably have an answer for this one. Would you rather fight 500 mouse sized ducks or one 500 pound duck?
one 500-pound duck. 500-pound duck. That thing's going to be slow as crap.
That was my argument. Nicole is completely on the other one. She's like, I can kick. I was like, you're going to get overwhelmed. There's 500 of them.
500 rat, like rat-sized ducks? Yeah, no. One 500-pound, that thing's slow. Break its kneecaps, and the thing won't walk. It'll be done. And it doesn't have kneecaps.
Do they?
It wouldn't even support. No, the flippers wouldn't even support.
Yeah, so it's just... Oh, yeah, no, now you're getting all scientific for me. Like, they're just going to collapse to the ground and not even be able to move.
It can't move.
All right, here's one. Specifically, this is an either-or specifically designed for you, Olin Rogers. If you could have one Emmy-winning show, but all the rest of your stuff is just meh, or you could have all your shows successful and pretty well received, but nothing ever wins an award, which would you pick?
The last.
The last?
Yeah. The I would rather not win an award and just have shows that people like. What does an award do?
That's a good point. I use it because the sports equivalent that I always toss out is like, if your favorite team won the championship this year but never won again for the next 20, or you're always in the playoffs but never won the championship. So I kind of spun it in your direction.
I would rather be in the playoffs because there's always a chance, right? There's always a chance that you can squeak by and get a thing. But, you know, if you're under the assumption that you were never going to win your championship, and you just have great seasons, dude, give me that. I'll take that any day of the week. Any day of the week.
All right. Last fun one, and then we'll finish it out on the other stuff. The celebrity you'd like to get ice cream with. And I did ice cream specifically because he has Mondays now, if you haven't seen that, which I was going to ask you. You can follow up this question with how that's going, by the way. But one celebrity just to go get some ice cream with.
I would probably say Patrick Stewart.
Really?
Me?
Also, I heard. I thought we were family. But, Patrick Stewart.
I think Patrick Stewart, just because I know he doesn't have much time left, and
that's fair.
I just really liked him in Star Trek Next Gen, and I think that he would be a good conversation to have. And really, a lot of the older actors, man, like. I had some great conversations with Keith David on Final Space. He would tell
you his voice.
He would tell you some wild stories about like old school Hollywood, about him like trying to break onto the scene, and you're just like fascinated. One record, he sat back there with us and he just talked for like 40 minutes and said, "This is the coolest thing I've ever seen." Like just, and I just soaked it in. And a lot of those like old school kind of actors, you just gotta soak in the knowledge, and I think a lot of people today kind of just don't sit and listen, you know. And I think with them, there's just such good stories to listen to. And he was talking about how like he was trying to break onto the scene, but Sidney Poitier was taking all the roles, and he was like trying to like battle it out with him. And then he started to kind of get some roles and it gets some acclaim, and it was like. I was like, wow, this is like such a fascinating story. Like it needs to be like a movie or something. But he's great. Yeah. I would say like Patrick Stewart, because I think there's some good stories there.
That's interesting pick there. All right. So let me get you out of here. Taking up enough of your time, but for everybody out there, Keith David, you haven't seen or watched, I don't know. I've mentioned your show a million times on my podcast. So I feel like at this point, everybody listening knows what Final Space is, but wrapping it up. The quick version, you can go check out Olin's video on YouTube for the longer versions, the explanations, everything what happened. But quick version is he got stuck because of licensings, so to speak.
Yeah.
Able to finish the story finally, have the graphic novel coming out, supported it on Kickstarter. Where is that, and how excited / a little bit teary-eyed are you to know that that's actually coming to an end?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't on Kickstarter. It was just like, pre-order because I couldn't do Kickstarter, but it would have been easier if I was able to do Kickstarter. I'll say that. The whole
I did three different places to send
the whole thing of Getting This Made has been It's been stressful, honestly, just because I have to figure out everything. Like, they made a deal in a way that pretty much didn't want it. They didn't want it to be successful, right? Yeah. So I really had to kind of like do everything on my own. And so they worded things in a way that I can't get a lot of help on it. It's really sucky. But it's like, I knew what I was getting into. It's tough. And I'm enjoying it because it's like, it's coming to an end and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like, it's hard to balance the inner workings of getting the thing made and everything I got to do over here with the creative, right? I wish it was, I could just focus on the creative and just be done with it and just like, you know, move on. But it's like, I have to think of like, you know, how do I transport 30,000 graphic novels to a place and ship them all out? And, you know, it's just like astronomical. But what I'll say on the story side, it's been good. It's been fun to really kind of get a chance to say goodbye to these characters in a way. And I don't know. I mean, I realized these last couple chapters in this graphic novel are going to be pretty tough to write, because it's kind of the stuff that, you know, three seasons of a show built up to, and you're finally getting to kind of put those on a page, and then you're going to see it in an art form. And it's like, it's always fulfilling to see that. And it's always kind of really scary to kind of have to write your goodbye. It's the first time I've gotten a chance to write a goodbye. Right. So it's definitely a new feeling that I didn't have before. Yeah, so, but yeah, I'll say that it's, I'm excited for it. I'm excited. It's nervous. You know, what will people think of it? I don't know, you know, but in a weird way, I want to set it up to where people can kind of continue it on their own in their own fan way, you know, and it's like each person just pick a storyline and write your own thing. You know, like I would rather it live in that way as opposed to just sit on a shelf at Warner Brothers and just die off, you know, cause it's that doesn't need to happen.
No. And so then you have Godspeed, and but like I actually have the comment right here, and everything. The Godspeed for everybody out there. This is the question I have for that. For that, that's an ongoing project. Different things have changed again. You can find all that out, by the way. But for people that were with you through Final Space, for the people that know what they think they know at the end of the video, do they know what they think they know in the kind of like do you know the reveal of the know that I think that I know that everybody knows?
I mean, what I would say is I want to do something with that, which is, it's kind of tough because it's like I wrote that as like a surrogate goodbye when I didn't know how to grab a novel, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, I felt like that.
And now I have this graphic novel and I'm like, okay, well, Godspeed, if it's going to live, it can't be shackled to the idea of what Final Space is. Yeah. It can be a spiritual successor 100%. And I wanted to make it in a way that people could think it's a continuation to the show, even though it might not be, right? Like, I like that people have at least that ability to think, oh, this is a continuation. I know who these characters are, right? They're just under different names and stuff like that. So I wanted to do that. I knew that out of the gate with Godspeed. That was the goal with it. Now, if it does continue, I'm trying to figure out how to get a little bit more funding so I can do a series. If it does continue, I think it needs to take on a life of its own. Right. If it's going to succeed, because it can't rely on a show that's dead, that's gone, that's vanished. Like, it just can't. It has to live on new ideas. So, and we have a lot of great ideas for it. So we're excited for it.
So, and that's what I wanted to make sure everybody knew about before we get out here is Patreon, which can support all the stuff going on that you have over there, including Haunt Hounds, which that's what I was going to get out of here. I don't want, like, you can go on as long as you want because I don't want to take up your day. But, like, how did that even, like, was that something that's just always been in the bank of, like, you know what? This would be fun to do. So, by the way, like you can support that. You can support the book. You can support potential. Like, just go check out Olin Rogers' Patreon, and you'll see a lot of what I'm talking about. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Haunt Hounds is, like, it was a project I always wanted to do for a while. Like, I watched a lot of ghost shows for decades. I mean, just since the beginning of it, like, in high school. That's when I started. And I was like, man, this is, like, so cool. And I never really thought about going off and doing it on my own because I thought, man, maybe I'll just be too scared of that, right? And then I went off and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go on one, see if I like it. I went to Harriman Hospital, and I remember the first, like, weird thing we got was a kid's toy went off when we were walking down the hallway in this kid's room. And I said, holy crap, that thing just went off. And instead of getting scared, I got excited. And I said, yo, if this is what ghost hunting is, this is fun. And we have now went to, like, 12 locations, to some of the most haunted places that you can go to. And it's a blast. It is so fun. Also, just kind of starting a new channel on YouTube has been really oddly, probably the most fun I've had on YouTube in years, man. Because there's no pressure, there's no shackles to what I used to make. It's just, I can put up whatever I want and build a new, like, a whole new thing. So it's like, it's a really exciting time. I love doing it. The stuff that I've captured, it's also like, when you do capture something weird, you just talk about it for hours on end. I'm like, why did that happen? Like, what the freak? So it's like, it's a really, really awesome thing. I'm having a blast doing it. So yeah, Haunt Hounds, check it out.
All right. 100%. Last question before we get out of here. From your experience, last time we talked, last 10, 15 years, if people are trying to write, trying to get into anything creative, video, whatever, what's the biggest lesson now from your experience that you would just pass on and be like, hey, know this going in, do this if you're in the middle of, like, what's the biggest Olin Rogers piece of advice?
I would say it's like, it's kind of all about timing, right? So it's good to think about the creative and have a good idea and work on multiple ideas. I think don't just put yourself in one, don't put all your eggs in one basket, I'll say. But timing is also a huge thing that people don't think about because they think that their idea can work at any time, but that's not the case because the market in Hollywood and how things move in any really industry is it changes. It constantly is like a like ebb and flow of like what they're getting made, what they're looking for. So the idea that you could have that you're really excited about and passionate about might not be the time that that's going to succeed. And if it's a good idea will always win over somebody. But it's the difference of like when I took out Final Space, it was the right time. And the right time was 15 places bought this thing, man. It was like 12, 15 places. I can't even remember. It's so many. And because they wanted a sci-fi animated comedy. That's what they wanted. They wanted it. And now I can take out an idea. I have one idea that I'm like, this is probably the best thing I've ever written. It's not the right time. Nobody will hear the pitch, right? Because it's just it's not the right time for that idea. Doesn't mean it's dead. It just means I have to shelf it for a little while and then work on something else. And so that's what I'll say. It's like timing is a huge aspect that I think a lot of people don't think about in the context of doing creative work. And then it's also kind of like really putting the business mindset with show business. You can have the creative side, but also really think about the business side as well. That's what's going to really help you get ahead. It's not just about being creative. You have to really be strategic about how you take certain things out, about how you're adapting things, about how you're making your project. How are you going to get the right people attached? How are you going to try to get it made? It's just trying to be as smart as possible in the business. So it's like, there's a lot of different ways you can go about it, but those would probably be the top advice. Timing is the biggest one. Timing is very important.
I think it's something I wouldn't have thought of. That's a really good piece. But what I did think of is hopefully you guys enjoyed my indulgence of having Olin on here and not fantasy football for one week.
Yeah.
One of the best out there at Olin Rogers. Make sure like check out his page. I'll send out the links and everything on Twitter too, so everybody can see all the support that you can give.
Yeah.
And definitely, if nothing else, Olin, one of the best guys in the business. I will say that, but of course, because you're family.
Yeah. Well, family here. Huh? Let me ask you a question. Who do you think is gonna win the Super Bowl next year?
Next year? I already put my money on the 49ers.
Really?
And I can't stand it. Not
why,
my money.
Why? Why? Why do you like the 49ers?
Because they the most complete team. And I just don't want to go back to the Chiefs again.
I don't know. I like the Ravens.
Do you?
It's funny.
So it's funny you say that. I guess I'm too much playing my odds here.
Yeah.
I actually had the discussion with my host or co-host Chris Meany, and I said I think the Ravens are the team that can upset the Chiefs, but because like if I rank the top three teams as of today in the NFL, those would be the three teams: Ravens, Chiefs, and 49ers.
Yeah.
So odds wise, I'm kind of taking the one I see on the own in the NFC, and then because there's two, you see. So like if you told me there's Ravens 49ers today, I could easily see the Ravens. I realize you paid that much attention.
A little bit. Last year, I kind of got into it a little bit more.
Really?
I don't know, because I started getting into a lot of, like, sports, because it was, like, first, UFC, then soccer, and then football. And so I got into it a good bit. I hate the Chiefs. They're so boring.
they're the safe pick.
Every time I watch them, they will always, like, do the safe, like punt it with 1 yard to go. And I'm like, dude, buddy, come on, just risk it. Throw the dice. You know, like I'm always I want them just to like, just take the 1 yard, right? Try to go for it.
You should be a Lions fan. It goes for it all the time.
That and the Eagles would do it a lot too. The Eagles were like, let's go for it. And you're like,
you're not a Titans fan being over there in Nashville?
I didn't mind, was it Will Levis for a little bit? Everybody was like, wow, we might have a good quarterback. And then, it was like kind of went away. But I don't know. I'm not a huge Titans fan. It's hard to enjoy Tennessee sports, like major sports, you know, because they're just like, especially with like Nashville SC, which I'm a huge soccer guy. And it's like that team is so broken, man. It's like just fundamentally broken to the core, which we just got a new coach. I guess we just got a new coach for the Titans. But I'm also like I came from Maryland. So it's like the Ravens were my first team. I don't know.
What this means, right?
Yeah.
Now I need to bring you into my world and we have to get you into a fantasy football league.
Yeah. I don't know how to play it. I don't know how to do it. That's the one thing I don't know how to do.
This is why you go to my content and then you can learn. My goal is to get you in a fantasy football league now. You should have mentioned that you've been paying attention.
No, but it's like I love the Ravens. I think that they were clicking last year. I don't know. Every time I watch the Ravens, I was like, man, these guys are just diabolical.
Have you been to a game?
Ravens? No. No.
Yeah. No. You got a couple bucket list things now you have to cross off your list here.
Yeah. It's true. We'll
have to talk more.
All right.
But we just took up another 10 minutes of your time. But anyway, back next week. We will be talking fantasy football, not with Olin Rogers, but maybe, you know what? We'll have to say 2025. Maybe you'll have enough that you can actually come on and talk fantasy football. But please, make sure you are supporting this terrific human. I can put it that way. Can I call you a terrific human?
You can, because we're family.
We're family. End it on that. We're family.
Yeah. Awesome, man. All right. Peace.